All right, we've been gone like 3 weeks. So we're back. All right, good. Somebody up there needs to replace my wife so that we actually have people that sound good up there. So we've been gone like 3 weeks. We're back. We're going to do something a little different tonight. Or, well, not really different. We're going to start something new tonight, I guess, is the better way to go. So you've all, like, taken pictures on your phone and used the little filters and stuff, right? I'm still too loud. Pull me down, Ethan. You take a picture and then, like, magically you look way prettier than you really were when you took the picture. Yeah? Everybody? You taken that before? Or like Karis, you know, she'll steal Emily's phone and get on Snapchat because she wants to be like a dog or a cat or something. So here's the deal. We live in a world that's filled with the wonders of God and what he can do. But just like those filters, our worldview can skew that perspective and make it look different. We may miss something that God does, or some of the beauty that he's made, or a work that he's created because of the filter that we tend to see things through. So our worldview, which is what we're going to discuss for the next couple weeks, is what impacts every decision that we make, the way we see things, and every single relationship that we have. So this is why we need to understand why having a biblical worldview is so important. We're going to do this a couple of different ways. We're going to start looking at, obviously, kind of our faith and what it is that we believe and how that works out. And then we're going to move into some of the other religions that the world has. So there's a cute little graphic thing that they put up, kind of the most popular ones throughout the world. And we're going to hit at quite a few of these. We're going to hit Hinduism, we're going to hit Buddhism, we're going to hit Islam, we're going to hit Catholicism. What else is on there? We'll hit Arminianism, we'll hit atheism. So, no. But anyway, so we're going to touch on all these different things and kind of compare them to what it is that we believe and why these things are not true and the Bible holds true. So you can pull it down now. It's good. We're going to John 18. That's where we're going to start out tonight. So that's that book, you know, that's in the chair, you know, whatever. You should bring one from home, some of that. Because if you bring it from home, you can put your own notes in there and you get to keep them forever. John 18. John 1, 8. The age that you all long to be one day so you can be free. 18. So basically what you're saying is y'all are all failures and Troy wins. So we're going to verse 33. That's where we're going to start. So we'll give it a couple more minutes for those that are a little slow. Good. Okay, so here we go. Then Pilate went back into his headquarters, and he called for Jesus to be brought to him. Okay, Jesus is on trial at this point, about to be crucified. "Are you the king of the Jews?" he asked. Jesus replied, "Is that your own question, or did others tell you that about me?" Pilate, "Am I a Jew?" he retorted. "Your own people and their leading priests brought you to me for trial. Why? What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world." Pilate said, "So you are a king?" Jesus responded, "No, you say that I'm a king. Actually, I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. All who love the truth recognize that what I say is true."
"What is truth?" Pilate asked. Then he went out again to the people and told them, "He's not guilty of any crime." So here's the deal. Every religion, every philosophy, every worldview makes claims about truth. The issue isn't finding a truth to base your life upon. The issue is developing an awareness of knowing what truth is actually accurate. So when you talk to another person, he or she will attempt to offer claims or explanations, for our experience as humans. There's certainly some common ground beliefs shared by all worldviews, and you'll find some pretty significant disagreements in each different one. But the disagreements about conflicting worldviews are typically about big ticket items, such as the existence and nature of God, what we do is sin, the human condition, the explanation of evil, the goal of the human life, and then the big one, what happens when we die. So, we're going to take some time. We're going to, again, look at the worldview that is ours and how it affects us. Our goal in this process isn't just to complete a study. It's not to just move on through this, check it off a box, but it's to actually hear, apply, and then be able to spread these truths to the rest of the world. Ideally, this is supposed to push us on to Christ's final command in Matthew 28 to go and make disciples. So the first thing, your worldview defines how you define truth. So my question is this, as a whole, okay, our world, the world that we live in, does our culture teach that truth is absolute or that it's relative? Relative? Does our world teach that truth is absolute or relative? We all think relative? Do what? Absolute meaning that truth is true, period. Relative meaning that what's true for you doesn't necessarily mean it's true for me. Okay, we'll see. The word truth is often avoided in our culture. Many people say that there's no such thing as ultimate or absolute truth. When it comes to God, the basic motto of our culture is whatever. That's where we tend to sit. Do you believe in God? Whatever. That's where we sit. You can believe whatever you want as long as it works for you. That's our answer. So then my question comes to this. Do you find yourself drawn to or pushed away from absolute truth? Pushed away? So, the same question, it's almost shocking that 2,000 years later, we're still fighting the same question that Pilate did. If we look at verse 38, Pilate asks, "What is truth?" And we're still asking that question today. You know the number one search thing in Google for 10 years in a row now? What was it? What happens when you die? Pick a religion. I mean, we saw the graphic. Pick a religion, pick a belief system, pick a theology, a doctrine, whatever you want to put out there. Every single one of them has a theory on what happens when you die. And yet, billions of people every year search what happens when you die. 10 years in a row, it's been the number one most searched thing on Google by a huge margin. It's not even close. So, at Jesus' trial, Pilate asks some significant questions. We can't read his mind, obviously, but the way he phrased things makes us believe that his mind was already made up about Jesus before he ever started asking. Yet Jesus' response turned attention toward the attitude and the motivation that we have when searching for the truth. So, I mean, again, Pilate says, so you are a king. And Jesus spins it back on him and says, no, you say that I'm a king. I never said that. We go back a little bit further. Pilate asks, verse 33, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus replies back to him, is this your own question or did somebody else tell you this? Jesus is basically saying that the condition of our heart, either pure or corrupt, is revealed by our response to who he is. Let that sink in for a minute. The condition of your heart is revealed by who you say Jesus is. He was and is truth. And how we respond to him reveals more about us than it does about him. The second thing, so your worldview determines what you believe is true. The second thing your worldview reveals is what you believe. A worldview is a framework by which we perceive truth and the world we live in. Everybody has some type of worldview, whether you think about it or not, realize it or not. Your worldview is a combination of everything you've experienced and what you believe to be true. What you believe becomes the driving force behind every emotion, decision, and action. Therefore, it affects how you respond to situations in your life. It shapes how you perceive science, theology, economics, and politics, and informs what you actually believe about God. Everything that you are, everything you do, everything you believe is wrapped up inside your worldview and defined by it. So think about this quote, A.W. Tozer, unbelievable Christian thinker and theologian. What you think about God is the most important thing about you. So how does what you think about God impact the decisions that you make? What you think about God is the most important thing about you. So how does that impact the decisions you make? Yeah, it changes them. We think about Paul. So you know the story of Paul. We've talked about it before. We got a guy named Saul. He's a Pharisee. He's killing Christians. Okay, Stephen, the first Christian martyr, Paul's sitting there holding the coats of the guys while they're throwing rocks at him. Like, I don't know if that's not being in approval of what is going on, I don't know what is. Goes down this road to Damascus and has his worldview shifted instantly. Goes from, Jesus is not the Messiah, he is nothing important, he's just a man who's creating a riot, to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords instantaneously. Everything in Paul's life changes on that road at that moment. Everything in his worldview changed, and therefore his ministry changed. So a lot of things shape our worldview, okay? The family you're born into, okay? If you're born in England, that's going to affect the way you view money, the way you view politics, the way you view science. If you're born in China, it'll impact those things. If you're born in the U.S., you're given a little bit more freedom, but even still, if your parents go to church, then your worldview tends to be shaped in that manner. If they don't, then you're not really sure what to do with the whole God picture. The environment and the culture that we live in. Okay? We live in the South. So, give you a perfect example. We did the little rite of passage ceremony for Ethan about a month ago. And here we go. Aaron walks out up onto the stage with a big old gun. At no point in time were crazy eyes in the room flipping out or running out the doors because there's a gun in the room. Because we live in Texas, and it's like, hey, there's one in every house, so this is just what we do. If that was in, like, California, like, the whole youth room would have split. Bye. Gone. We'd have been empty. What? Okay, that's the culture and stuff that we've been raised in. Okay? We say things like howdy and y'all that doesn't get said everywhere else. Okay? Most people change their worldview through the course of their lives, though. Okay, so you have one. Okay, my daughter's got a worldview that's going to be different than where Danica sits. And Danica's worldview is going to be different than where Emily sits going to a little bit of college. And that worldview is different than where Troy sits, having done 20 years of life post the 18, 19-year-old world. So the worldviews shift as we move through lives. But like Paul, our worldview shifts most by a major significant event. You can look back at your life and find that one thing that changed your life, changed your worldview, and changed everything. Having people see the importance of the worldview and leading them to recognize the logic and truth in the Christian worldview is one of the main goals of apologetics. Apologetics is a lot of what we're going to be facing. Okay, I'll give you a story, illustration. I had one of our old youth call me two months ago. He sent me a text. He said, Aaron, what do you know about God the Mother? Huh? I'm like, we've all sat in church. We've heard this. Father God, God our Father. You know, this is a normal thing. God the Mother. I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. So he sends me another thing back, and he's like, well, the bride of Christ is actually God the Mother. Huh? So I responded a couple of things. Well, then he calls me. He's on a college campus, and he hands the phone to the guy that he's talking to who's trying to convince him of this. And so me and this guy have a 30-minute conversation, basically telling me that everything I know about the Bible is wrong. He hands me scripture and tells me, you believe wrong because the Bible says this. And what you actually think about the Bible is wrong because of this. Now, if I didn't know any better, I would have been just like the old youth that was sitting there next to him and going, well, it all sounds good and it's in the Bible. But I wouldn't know any better because I hadn't looked and hadn't studied the things out myself. My worldview had been shaped by the things that everybody else had told me and not what I had done and read myself. Because what he had done is he had taken pieces of Scripture, one verse here, one verse there, one verse here, to try and prove his point. Instead of taking the book as a whole that proves one point. So we get the ability inside the apologetic world, we're probably going to hear that word a lot more, we have the ability inside the apologetic world to know what it is that we believe, why we believe it, and how to argue it. Danica, how would you like to have actually had an answer for the kid on the bus that said, you shouldn't believe in God, you're stupid? Instead of just going, you believe what's good for you and I'll believe what's good for me. To be able to actually have an answer that works and can be proven. That's the problem. A lot of people go to church. That doesn't mean they listen. Like I said, I'm talking about one of my old youth here. Been in church since before he was born and is still standing there and cannot answer these questions. That's why he's calling me. Like, my hope would be, you know, you guys can call me for the same time, but my hope would be that you don't have to call me to answer these questions, that you can answer the question yourself. That's what I'm hoping. I don't want to have to take these phone calls anymore to go, basically saying, Aaron, I don't know what I believe, so you tell him what I believe. How much sense does that make? None. Because what's going to happen is you're going to show up in a college classroom. Some college professor is going to look at you and go, guys, I got a question for you. Can you see the floor? Can you see the floor? So does the floor exist? Yes. Can you see Danica's brain? So how do you know it exists? So can you see God? Then how do you know He exists? See, that's the thing. At some point, a college professor is going to ask you those questions. And if you don't know what you believe and why you believe it, you're going to walk out of that classroom going, you know, maybe he's right. I'm just not sure. And so then you're going to be one of the ones on Google going, does God exist? What happens when we die? My hope is for you to not be there. So the third thing, you can develop and display a Jesus-centered worldview. So knowledge is essential in making decisions. We simply don't hope that if we go in for brain surgery, that the brain surgeon knows how to operate on somebody's brain. That's our hope, is that he doesn't just have the knowledge. We trust that he actually can do it. Like, if you have the option to go in for brain surgery of a guy that just graduated from med school or the guy that's been doing it 20 years, you're taking the 20-year veteran every time. Okay, because you don't want the guy to make his first mistakes on your brain. It's not your hope. Okay, so we don't rely on a hunch about whether we should wear a coat out during the day. We turn the weather on and look at the meteorologist that went to school, studied it out, know the cloud patterns, etc. The same is true with our faith. The most important thing is how we perceive God. It shapes every decision we make. And to develop a Christian worldview, we've got to come to the understanding that some things are true. Not just a hunch, not just a hearsay, not just possible, but actually true. So developing a Jesus-centered worldview will move you past just understanding facts about Jesus and lead you into encountering him in an ever-vivid way. Everything you do in life depends on what you do with Jesus. Is he Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Or is he just a man? Is he just a prophet? Is he just a fairy tale? As we get into these different religions that we're going to see, that's going to be one of the big questions that happens. What do they believe about God? And what do they believe about Jesus? I'm going to tell you, many, many, many of them believe he's just a man. Many of them believe he's just a good person. Many believe he's just a prophet. If you don't believe that he is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it changes everything. When we determine God is all-powerful, that Jesus truly was who he said he was, the way, the truth, the life, the Christ, the one that died for our sins, it changes everything that we do, everything we believe, and every decision that we make. The way we think impacts our heart. Our heart informs our actions, and our actions have the ability to honor or dishonor God. A Jesus-centered worldview is not based upon smoke and mirrors, illusions, scams, or deception. The Christian worldview means viewing the world, people, problems, culture, and everything else from God's perspective. A biblical worldview requires us to consider who God is, what Jesus has done for us, and how we live out our experience. I get it. This week, a little on the dry side. It is going to pick up, I promise. There's going to be things over the next few weeks that really just kind of make you sit and go, huh? Yeah, I was telling, most of y'all weren't here for the Christmas Eve service. I was sitting down watching a TV show called Expedition Unknown. And they were doing a study on the afterlife.
And they're basically going through different, like, cultures, ideas of what happens when you die and the whole idea. And some of these things were crazy. Like, there was a guy in Africa that literally believed that his parents were still with him after they died. So much so, they lived upstairs in his house in their caskets. And he went upstairs every day and had a conversation with them. They died and they remained inside that dead body for him to have a conversation with. No. There were no lids on the casket. They were just laying there like, oh, yeah, it stunk. Like the guy said, when I walked into the house, like it reeked. Now, I'm sure you get used to it after a while, but I kid you not, like, the guy on the show walked into the house, was talking to the guy, went upstairs. There's mom, dad just chilling in boxes. All like, and he just kneels down. Hey, dad, how you doing today? Like, I don't know about you guys, but this thought that I'm living this life to do nothing but hang out in a box so that Karis can talk to me when I die sucks. Right? Like, it's comical. Like, go ahead and laugh. I have no, like, seriously. Please, Karis, just go cremate me and move on down the road. Like, don't let me live in your house. I mean, I saw unbelievable things on this show. And the more and more I've studied through this stuff, I'm finding more and more unbelievable things. Okay? Islam, I'll give you a hint. They have 1 trillion different gods. 1 trillion. And you're expected to pray to all of them at least one time in your life. Now, somebody can do the math real quick. You live an average of 70 years, 365 days a year. Maybe you're really good. You pray 3 times a day. That's not a trillion. And if you don't get to all the trillion, guess what? You go to hell. I'm telling you, you're going to hear things that you're going to be like, do people think? The key is we have the answer. At some point, we've got to take their worldview, challenge their worldview with a biblical worldview, and hope that their eyes open. Be ready. It's going to be challenging. Expedition unknown. So, that's it. We got a couple of small group questions. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Your worldview shapes how you define truth. This is my dear wife who can pull my notes up at any point in time asking me for my notes. Just saying. Ready? Do what? Oh, I know. I'm just saying, she can pull them up later. Reveals what you believe. All right, so y'all head down to, girls, y'all head down. Guys, y'all stay up here and do small groups. And guess what you get to do?